Well, thank you for that, Daniel. It's always a blessing to, I know it's just how we do it, but it's a blessing to start a service with singing, lifting our voices together. I want to extend a blessing to each one, a welcome and a blessing to each one of you. Desire that our time together this morning could be encouraging, that it could somehow make a difference in each one of us. And it's not because I'm here, but if the Holy Spirit moves within us, we all can be blessed, no matter how well or how poor the delivery is. So to start off, I have a verse. It's Ephesians 4:32, and it's, "Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you." I'm not going to stay at that verse. I just wanted to give that kind of as a, in a way, an introduction. The title is Forgiveness. I'm going to start talking about some of my own thoughts and experiences on this topic, and then some examples from the Word on this, and then share a few quotes that I've found. So while the requirements to forgive offenses could seem like another one of those thou shalt, like the commandments, this is what you need to do, forgiveness is, as I thought of it, a sibling to love. It's that quiet force. You know, it's quiet, and yet it has power. It can move mountains. It can build bridges. It can restore relationships. It can improve bodily and mental health. It allows peace to return to a sad, stressed, and bitter heart. And there's no negative side effects. It's all positive. The world we live in, I'm sure we've all heard these sayings of, it's a dog-eat-dog world. The phrase, the early bird gets the worm, or it's a rat race, so on. If you look at it through that lens, it seems like it's geared for the aggressive, greedy people. Those of us who try to live by the Word can feel, you know, like we're outside, or we can't function with this. So with that in mind, of how, you know, with the dog-eat-dog mentality, in life we have relationships. We work with people. We interact. If we have that mindset, is it any wonder that relationships get sacrificed, you know, for the goal of getting ahead? In the Bible, there's many verses warning against offending others. So just keeping all that in mind, we have plenty of opportunity to forgive others, including ourselves. So as can be expected, like with anything we do in life that's right, we need to learn how to forgive. And as with a new exercise, we may feel like, I can't do this, or you don't realize how much I've been hurt, it's just too hard. But as with any new thing, with practice we learn what to expect and the benefits that follow. Sure, we all, unless it's been too long, remember the first time we forgave someone that was more than just mom telling you to, or in an inner youth, but some monumental moment where we realized we need to do this. You count the cost, you make that move, you forgive someone, and just how exhilarating that can be. It's like that first big victory. You overcame fear and doubt, the doubt that it would work, and you ask someone. Obviously, we might not always get the response we expect, but each victory will help us another to win. It's like learning to ride a bike. I mean, again, many of us remember what that's like. You know you're probably going to crash, but you want the end result. You want to learn how to do it. You keep trying, and each time, the end goal gets closer to being a reality. And when something is hard, when it costs us a lot, when we put a lot of effort into it, it means more to us. There's a greater sense of ownership. It's resistance that helps us to become stronger. You know, that somebody who does, I mean, I can't relate necessarily, but somebody who does bodybuilding or weightlifting, they don't pick the lightest bar and just run a few times and expect to get results. It needs to be heavy. It needs to be hard, and it needs to be perseverance. And the couch potato, we could apply this to many situations, but only knows that it looks hard, and then that makes it unattainable. So facing our fears, the fear of rejection, the fear of looking at forgiveness, that it won't work, facing our fears can help us to overcome it. At the point where we say, I can't, the point where we back down and say, I can't take anymore, that becomes our limit until we, with courage, take it a step farther. One thing that has helped me when someone's been a challenge to me is to try to look at their life and understand what they may be facing or have faced in life, and that would work for self-examination as well. We are by default the product of our life's experiences, meaning by default, if we don't work on self-improvement, the result is predictable. The saying, hurting people hurt people, definitely is true. If we're able to break the cycle, we can call that a victory. Now, how many times have we met somebody that we found to be a challenge, and yet as time went on, we realized that they have experienced some very hard things, and it helps us to understand. My wife and I's quest on making sense of life, and I've talked about some of this before, but trying to understand each other and ourselves. Sometimes I think understanding myself is the harder part. But many hours have been spent just to sort through our lives' experiences and our personality differences. And each one of us has a way of processing life. We all have expectations of us, of each other and ourselves. So one thing I've been thinking about a lot lately is we can hold ourselves to an unreasonably high standard that we cannot attain to. Now, I realize with time that standard can get higher. We can keep growing, and I think we should. But if we expect perfection from ourselves, obviously that's not going to happen. This puts us in a position of constant failure, which is not sustainable. And true, if we're dealing with ourselves, it doesn't affect anyone, and yet it does, because we're frustrated and others feel that. This topic of self-understanding ourselves and self-forgiveness was kind of what brought me to this, or what I think I'm learning lately. And the sayings of, I'm kicking myself because of what I did, or I'll never forgive myself, or I'm so angry at myself. Well, while we may not really mean it to the extent of the literal sense, I wonder if we don't hinder our growth, if we don't forgive ourselves and move on. Speaking of not taking things too literally, I don't know if it's second or third grade, I had attended public school, and right there you have a cultural difference. I remember a classmate saying something that happened. I don't remember that part. I remember him saying his mom's going to kill him. And I didn't know what to do with that. That's just not how we talked at home. But I just vividly remember the student saying that. And it was not kidding. It was sounding very serious. Of course, it was a way of saying, Mom's going to be very upset with me. I'm going to get in trouble. But, you know, just in my way of processing, that made quite an impression. Obviously, it wasn't meant literally, but So self-condemnation, like I said earlier, that's what prompted this. I wanted to draw attention on not forgiving and releasing ourselves, because it's not if we make mistakes, it's when. If we cannot live in peace with ourselves, it's probable we will find it hard to forgive others. And I'm still learning. I think this is a bigger topic or a bigger thing than I realize, but just the power that we hold within our heart, within our mind. If we carry unforgiveness in our hearts, it casts a shadow on our whole being. It's like a kink in the hose. The flow is restricted. The full potential is not realized. I have had a habit of pointing out to my family just how immature and insecure I have been in my teens and early 20s. Now, I say have had because I'm purposing to move on from this habit, as my family has pointed out to me that I'm being unreasonably hard on myself. I remember some years ago, we were attending Living Hope Church. I remember talking to Mark Brubaker there. And I guess I was like a broken record repeating my failures. And he just pointed out to me that he's not that interested or doesn't want to know who I was. He wants to know who I am and where I'm going. And that really made an impression to me. And I definitely know I needed that. So I wondered already, how much has that hindered my growth and kept me from becoming like Jesus? I was just holding these things against me. So the topic of forgiveness, as we know, is very prominent in the teachings of Jesus. Well, this was not a new thing in the New Testament. Jesus, like many things, took it a step farther. Draw it closer to the heart. So I'm going to read some in Matthew 18. You're welcome to turn there. Here we have an example on forgiveness. We have a practical example of how to extend mercy one to another. Forgiving beyond what seems reasonable. But also warning, if we don't extend forgiveness to our brothers and sisters, it will not be well for us. So Matthew 18, beginning in verse 21. The previous verses, Jesus had been teaching them. Verse 15, I think I'll read that first. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. And if he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. The context there was, if somebody goes on, if they won't hear you, bring a witness, etc. But moving on to verse 21 of Matthew 18. Then came Peter unto him, to him, and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times? I pondered that one, thinking, well, Peter was paying attention, and maybe he asked a question that some of the others would have liked to. I'm not sure. He was... appears to be outspoken. Maybe spoke when he shouldn't have, but I think it was a good question. We don't know all the details of this, but Jesus, I don't know what Peter's thoughts were when Jesus answered him, but he said unto him in verse 22, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. So of course, the thought of keeping track, that's not the right spirit of counting. Thinking if somebody would take that many times, there's something wrong upstairs. But the principle is there to forgive beyond what we think is what we might call rational forgiveness, beyond common sense. I'm going to read through the rest of the chapter. Now this takes it to a little different. A different level, but I'm just going to read through it. Verse 23, therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, his wife and children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, loosed him and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. I'm not quite sure on the money difference here, but if talents is dollars and pence is cents, we can, if that's accurate, it was a vast difference. A debt that in a lifetime could probably never pay compared to some pocket change. So let's not miss the point of being forgiven a massive debt and then not having mercy on your fellow brother. I think that's what we can take home with us. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, "Have patience with me, I will pay thee all." As it's recorded here, it's the same words. We would think it would have brought some remembrance, but he would not, and went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto the Lord all that was done. So in this situation, just like life itself, what we do isn't unnoticed. Then the Lord, after he had called him, said unto him, "O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all thy debt, because you asked me, thou desirest me. Shouldst not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee?" And his Lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother his trespasses. I think it's wise counsel, and it says from the heart, not lip service, but genuine. I'm also going to read in Luke 23. And here we also have a beautiful example of Jesus being treated like a common criminal and how he responded. As we understand it, Jesus had a divine purpose in allowing himself to be beaten, mocked, and killed. This probably would not be the case for us if we had... Let me start over. This probably would not be the case for us, but we do well to learn from his example. Our calling is different than his. But as in many of these examples, they're recorded so we can learn from them. So Luke 23, I'm going to read 13 through 25. And Pilate, when he had called together the chief priests and the rulers of the people, saith unto them, "Ye have brought this man unto me as one that perverteth the people. And behold, I have examined him before you, and I have found no fault in the man touching these things whereof ye accuse him. No, nor yet Herod, for I sent you to him, and lo, nothing worthy of death was done unto him. I will therefore chastise him and release him. For of necessity he must release one unto them at the feast." And they cried out all at once, saying, "Away with this man, and release unto us Barabbas, who for a certain sedition made in the city and for murder was cast into prison." And Pilate, therefore, willing to release Jesus, spake unto them. But they cried, saying, "Crucify him, crucify him." And he said unto them the third time, "Why, what evil hath he done? I have found no cause of death in him. I will therefore chastise him and let him go." And they were instant with loud voices, requiring that he might be crucified. And the voices of them and of the chief priests prevailed. And Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they required, and released unto them him for sedition and murder was cast into prison, whom they had desired, but he delivered Jesus to their will. Now, unless I missed it, the other Gospels do mention here that he scourged him, whipped him. I didn't see it here in Luke, but the other Gospels do have that in there. So that, just wanted to draw attention to that, of how what he suffered in their hands. Okay, I'm going to skip ahead to verse 33 and 34 of the same chapter. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand, other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's the key part that I wanted. I know I've wrestled with that. You know, why did he say it that way? I think we would still believe that what they did was held to their account. Was this given for us as an example as how we should do, not even to the extent that he suffered, that we don't hold a grudge on anyone? So, yeah, some of that I'm not quite sure what to do with. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. Because in one sense, we could agree they didn't realize what they were doing. They were acting out with evil passion. But regardless, though, ability to say it, and I think we would all agree it was said from the heart. So in the last part, I have some quotes that I found from various individuals. I did not put the names to it. We obviously don't know who these people were, in what context and all that. I'll just kind of give that as a disclaimer, I guess, but I think we can learn from these things. I think there's 15 different ones. One of the secrets of a long and fruitful life is to forgive everybody, everything, every night before you go to bed, which can be a challenge. It sounds right. I think it's good to live by that. There's times when we don't feel like it, but I believe the principle is sound. Forgiving does not ease the bitter past. A healed memory is not a deleted memory. I like how it says, a healed memory. It's the saying is forgive and forget, which I guess maybe I'm different than some of you. It's a little hard or impossible to do. You know, I have scars from some things I've talked about up here. It doesn't hurt anymore, but I remember. It looks like I have leprosy where I burned myself. It's white, but thankfully, it doesn't hurt anymore. When you forgive, you in no way change the past, but you sure do change the future. Before we can forgive one another, we have to understand one another. When we forgive evil, we do not excuse it, we do not smother it. We look evil full in the face, call it what it is, let its horror shock us, stun us, and only then do we forgive it. Forgiveness is the fragrance that the violet sheds on the heel that has crushed it. This is the shortest one, but might be one of the most substantial. The weak can never forgive. Forgiveness is choosing to love when it is the first skill of self-giving love. The glory of Christianity is to conquer by forgiveness. It is easier to forgive an enemy than to forgive a friend. The practice of forgiveness is our most important contribution to the healing of the world. It is one of the greatest gifts you can give yourself to forgive. Forgive everybody. When we harbor negative emotions towards others or towards ourselves, or when we intentionally create pain for others, we poison our own physical and spiritual system. By far the strongest poison to the human spirit is the inability to forgive oneself or another person. It disables a person's emotional resources. The challenge is to refine our capacity to love others as well as ourselves and to develop the power of forgiveness. Holding a grudge does not make you strong. It makes you bitter. Forgiveness doesn't make you weak. It sets you free. The first to say, I'm sorry, is the bravest. The first to forgive is the strongest. The first to lay it down and move on is the happiest. Forgiveness is the most powerful thing you can do for yourself on the spiritual path. If you can learn to forgive, you can forget about Sorry. If you can't learn to forgive, you can forget about getting to higher levels of spiritual awareness.